Surfing the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here on this hump day. It's Wednesday already. This week's moving right along. We're in the middle of Passion Week here in the Christian Church. We're in the week in between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Actually, today as well is the first day of Passover here today. On this Wednesday, happy Passover to everyone out there. We're in the middle of Passion Week, Palm Sunday, which is the name of this sermon, by the way. This is part two of this sermon, Palm Sunday. We're looking at what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Palm Sunday and how this day was predicted 173,880 days in advance. That's where we started this sermon yesterday. We're in the middle of Passion Week between Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Resurrection Day, which is this Sunday. Speaking of Resurrection Day, I invite you guys to Island Community Church this weekend, this Sunday. My sermon is entitled, The Last Enemy. Naturally, that would be death. We're going to be in John chapter 11. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ raising up Lazarus from the grave. And that's where we're going to be. You are invited. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. We'd love to see you tonight at 6 o'clock as my associate pastor is teaching the word tonight. He is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. I invite you to attend our service tonight, and we'd love to see you. Bring a family and or friend. On Easter, you are cordially invited. We would love to see you this Sunday morning or tonight. Here we go. Now, this is part two of this message now, Palm Sunday.
This came first before it even dawned on me. I didn't say, oh, it's March 29th. Let me talk about this. I did this first, and then he showed me. I did the math, and like, blah, 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 it just, whoa, what? That's today. 173,880 days from March the 4th is March the 29th, 33 AD. And that day, praise God, is today. Now, maybe you say, well, there's 365 days in our calendar. That's just a bunch of yakety-yak, hogwash, Esposito. That doesn't work if you do it according to our calendar. Well, I'm glad you thought that. Now, from 444 to 33 AD on our calendar is 476 years. Now, multiply 476 by 365 point, let's be exact here, 0.24219, which they'll tell you down there on the Cape is a solar year. 476 times 365.24219 is 173,855 days. Add the 25 days between 4 and 29, and you come up with 173,880 days. And this is the launching point for today's sermon, the day that the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Let's turn there, please, to Matthew chapter 21. What an awesome prophecy that is, isn't it? It's done every which way. You can do the math on the Hebrew calendar. You can do the math on our calendar. So consider how important this day must be after all that God has done to bring this much attention to this day that he would give this prophecy all those years ago on this Palm Sunday. Now, we're in Matthew chapter 21. Just don't forget the reason for Bible prophecy, church. Remember what we read in the book of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Anything, everything is written down in advance so that you will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the only reason for it. Only God can predict the future. And he does all of this. He blows you away with this stuff that no one knows except him and that to whom he's revealed it to. And that is so that you will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's God's son and he is the only way to eternal life. That's why this stuff is written down. Now, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you will say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. So, verse 4, all this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did just as Jesus commanded them. So I'll tell you what. All this was done so that another prophecy would be fulfilled as well. That you can count the day, you can count to the day the Savior of the world was going to be recognized as King and Lord. Verse 7. So they brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. That would be palm branches. This is where Palm Sunday comes from. Verse 9, then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude says, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So we see three prophecies fulfilled here on this day, March the 29th, 33 AD. Number one, we see Daniel chapter 9 fulfilled. When the word is given, you count 173,880 days. Let me tell you what, the Magi knew this prophecy too. And that's why they were looking for the star. Uh-oh, wait a minute, wrong holiday, sorry. Same truth though. The Magi learned this prophecy from Daniel. This is how they knew to be looking for the star. They understood where we started here today. They knew when this was going to happen because Daniel told them to the day this is going to happen. Once someone in authority gives the command to fix Jerusalem and rebuild it, start counting. Tell your kids. Write it down. To tell their kids and their kids and their kids. That's why these guys were looking for him to return. Because they believed God at his word. So we see Daniel 9 fulfilled. Number two, we see Zechariah 9:9 fulfilled, which is this main text here from Matthew 21. The king rides a donkey. Third, we see now Psalm 118, verse 26 fulfilled, which says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All of this on the 29th of March, 33 AD. Now let's see what else Jesus did on Palm Sunday, shall we? It's too early to go home, right? Good Lord, we just got started, right? Let's go down to verse 12 here. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. All right, so the first thing he does after his coronation is he goes to the temple and he cleans house. He discovers people selling various things and buying there as well. And as a result of turning God's house into a marketplace, we see Jesus the most upset ever in all of the Word of God for selling things outside of God's house. Better yet, yeah, you know what? You know, I better wipe some of the egg off of Jesus' face here. And let's say, better yet, those that were ripping people off outside of God's house. Certainly, he didn't mean anything more than that, right? I'm not so sure about that. I just want to soften the blow of him being serious about the house of God. So I'll say, well, that's just ripping people off. Verse 13, so he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you people have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. That's because the phrase Hosanna is reserved for the Messiah. Now connect those dots of 173,880 years with calling out Hosanna when Jesus rides into town. He's acknowledged on this day as the Messiah. And as the king, naturally just riding a donkey, lowly, the foal of a donkey. So yes, this is a very significant day. Verse 16. So they were indignant and said to him, don't you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in your Bible? Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have perfected praise. Now there's another psalm. There's Psalm 8. Won't find that in your Bible, by the way. That's only in the Greek Old Testament. That's not in your Bible. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have perfected praise. I'll buy you lunch if you can find that in your Bible. Boy, talk about take me off my game on that one. That's Psalm 8, verse 2 or 3. And your Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength. But Jesus' Bible looked a lot different back then than ours today. He quotes from the Greek Septuagint Old Testament here. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have perfected praise. Verse 17, then he left them and he went out of the city to Bethany. And he lodged there. So there you have Jesus' opinion regarding using God's house for anything other than it's supposed to be. House of prayer, house of worship, weddings, memorial services, of meeting the needs of those in our community. This is God's house, or at least an extension of God's house. For we live in the church age, and God's house is wherever his righteous church is. Not every church, because you won't find him in every church. Because the glory of the Lord has left plenty of buildings. But the righteous church. Okay, now from here, Jesus curses the fig tree. Verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and he found nothing on it but leaves and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Now, from here, he gets questioned about his identity, verse 23. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, then I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" So then they reason among themselves, saying, "Well, if we say from heaven, he'll say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, well, we fear the multitude, because everyone counts John to be a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." So he said to them, "Well, neither then will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What a response to these guys. Now, I want to look at one last thing that happened during this Passion Week. Verse 33, the parable of the wicked vine dressers. Or we could call it the parable of the evil farmers. Or we could call it the renters from HE double hockey sticks. Or we could call it a cryptic look at the religious leaders in Israel, told in a parable. So Jesus says, "Here another parable." I'm in verse 33. I'm in Matthew 21, 33. "Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. And he dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers so that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, stoned the other. Again he sent out other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent out his son, saying, 'Surely they'll respect my son.'" Gee, it's not too difficult to read between these lines, is it? Who he's talking about. Verse 38, "But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'Look, it's the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.'" Now, who does that and expects to get away with it? Really? I know. We'll just kill the heir, and then we'll tell the owner, dude, just give it everything to us. What kind of idiot would do that? Sounds like a logical plan. How about you guys? I don't see any flaws in his plan either, right? I know. We'll just kill the heir and say, I'll take everything, please. Verse 39, "So they took him," that's the son, "and they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these vine dressers?" So they said to him, I guess not getting yet that he was talking and referring to them. "So when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these vine dressers?" So they said to him, "Well, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and will lease his vineyard to other vine dressers." That would be you. "He'll lease it to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season." So Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures?" Oh no, big mistake again. Haven't you people read in your Bible? Haven't you read what King David wrote in Psalm 118? The same psalm everyone just quoted about me yesterday when I rode into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Haven't you people read this? Hosanna in the highest. That was just yesterday. Don't you remember? Don't you people know your Bible, for the love of Pete? Haven't you never read? Now he's going to quote, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes?" Question mark. By the way, who is this King David? Everything has come from him. Have you noticed that? All of these quotes on who the Messiah is, they all come from the Psalms. And read the book of Acts. They all come from the mightiest prophet who's ever lived, and that's King David. Verse 43, he says, therefore I say to you. All right, so again, he quotes Psalm. Earlier he quoted Psalm 8. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have perfected praise. Now he's going to quote Psalm 118. First we saw, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 23 and 24. Now this, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Nation is the Greek word ethnos, where our words the Gentiles comes from. So the kingdom of God will be taken from you and it will be given to the Gentiles. Now, building on the imagery of Christ being the stone, capital S, the stone that these builders have rejected. Verse 44. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls on, it'll grind him to powder. Now, there's your two options today if you are not a Christian yet. Jesus Christ is the stone. And that stone is blocking your path and it's blocking your way, and there's no way around him. There's no escaping Jesus today. Everyone in the sound of my voice or watching this on YouTube, anyone here in the house, anyone that hears this on the radio, now that you hear it, you've got no excuse. There is no getting around the Son of God. You have to deal with him today. He's right in your path. He's blocking your way. You must deal with the stone that's in your path. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Broken, you see, but not shattered. Broken, but not dead. Not dead yet. There's still time, of course, as long as it's still, what day? Right, today. But God's had us here for nigh on 8 or 9 or 10 years. Right, today, if you hear his voice, he says, do not harden your hearts like the Jews did in the rebellion and like these Jews did right here. I mean, imagine that thinking that they did over John the Baptist. Well, if he's a prophet, I mean, all the evidence was right there, right in front of him. You must deal with the stone. And as I said, there is still time for you, as long as it's still today. You might be broken or walk with a limp now, but Jesus can fix you. He can fix you at all the broken places. That's the good news. See, all things work together for good. That you're broken today is good news. If you're broken, thank God that you're broken. But you see, the truth about this rock is, and stone, is that there's a door in the center of the stone, enabling you to pass through to get to the other side, which is heaven. Jesus tells all the occupants in this broken world, because again, he's broken them out of his own mouth. He said it. Not me. He has said it. He has broken them. If you're broken today, it's because he's broken you. And you got a stone right in the middle of your path. What do you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? So Jesus tells all the occupants in this broken world today, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. That pasture being, that's heaven on the other side. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get there. If you're broken, that's good news today if you're broken. You know, sometimes I've seen people get sick when they can't do anything but pay attention. Because God has a peculiar, sometimes painful way to get our attention, does he not? Ask Captain Jim. I wish he was here to hear this today. He'd be nodding saying, yeah, that's right. He learned all about the Lord Jesus and his love for him when he broke his back. And God had his attention. I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and he'll find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The other alternative is given by the Lord himself. It starts with the word but. But on whomever it falls, it'll grind him to powder. See, the Jews refused to acknowledge Jesus as the promised Messiah. Promised 173,880 days in advance. How about you? He promises you today. He promises you today. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters in by me or through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus this week as we remember Passion Week. And I leave you guys with this verse here today before our benediction. And that's Romans 9:33. It says this. God says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. That is, he's going to offend a lot of people. And he has offended a lot of people. I lay before you a stumbling stone. That is, you can't get around it. You're going to trip over it. I lay in Zion, that's Jerusalem, a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whoever believes in him would not be put to shame. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you this morning. We receive you today. You've broken me. Thank you for getting my attention. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that I'm still alive here today to proclaim I want to go in through this door, and that's you. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through you. Therefore, I call on your name here today. You promised whoever calls on your name will be saved. I do that here right now. I call on the name of Jesus Christ. I believe you are the Son of God. I receive you today. I pray you'd write my name in the book of life and open up the door which leads to heaven for me. I want to walk through it. And I turn from my sin. I receive you here today. Write my name in your book of life. And I praise you now, Lord, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. According to an article in Religion Unplugged, some Roman Catholic officials are considering the Augsburg Confession as a basis for Christian unity. For those not up on church history, this was written in 1530 by Philip Melanchthon as a joint